The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and wherever you get your podcasts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Jake Paul ended up with a black eye and a broken tooth after getting to a brawl with Floyd Mayweather. I mean, look, a professional prize fighter. I'm talking about a guy with a deep amateur background and who's successful as a pro for years. Against a guy who can just fight and has started to train a year or two ago, I don't care how big he is a total mismatch, right? But Floyd is one of the greatest pure boxers who ever lived. And Jake Paul is a guy who's giving his all to the sport right now. He's been doing it for like 18 months. And Floyd could do whatever he wants to Jake or Logan Paul when you're talking about throwing hands. How much of that was real? Seems like it crossed over a little bit to being, you know, not just promotion, right? But I'll tell you something else. That's the whole game nowadays. The whole game nowadays is not just walking that line, but crossing it. Because you got to sell to the public that it's real. So if you can actually make it real, it becomes a bigger event. Not that it's staged, not that it's not real, but that there's an awareness among the participants nowadays in these kinds of exhibitions that it's like reality TV. The realer it is with the emotion, the better it sells. So then the question becomes, even though Floyd was clearly agitated, right? And he was mad, issuing threats and everything, let alone the actual violence. Said, I'm going to kill you and all this stuff. The question is, how's Floyd feeling about that right now? Right? Floyd might be like, I love these kids. Because Floyd, as I've said, has made more money by my estimation, can make more money by my estimation for these kinds of exhibitions, like the one he fought against Conor McGregor, than all the money he made in his entire professional career up to the Oscar De La Hoya fight. He'd won multiple titles, junior lightweight, unified the title, one of the best ever, maybe the best ever 130-pounder. Moved up to lightweight. First fight, he fights the toughest guy in the division, Castillo. Close fight. A lot of people think he lost that fight. Came back, beats Castillo easier the second time. You know, moves up to junior welterweight. Big fight with Arturo Gatti, beats him easy. That was my first show on HBO, actually, as a broadcaster. I told everyone that, the biggest mismatch since Lewis and Tyson. But all the money he made up until he fought De La Hoya, he makes more in an exhibition like this, potentially, because the other guy knows how to promote, too. Understand, back then, Floyd was being promoted as Pretty Boy and Top Rank, you know, kind of wanted to make him like Sugar Ray Leonard because that was the blueprint they'd had. And Floyd was chafing because he's like, this isn't me. Let me just do my thing, and I'll cross over in my own way. Even if you haven't seen it before, it's okay, I'm going to do something new. And play the anti-hero to white America, largely. And in the urban, so-called urban audience, I'll be more of a hero in some quarters. But at any rate, I will connect with an audience. The problem was then, yeah, but like, people are interested in Pacquiao, but during the promotion, I have to carry the whole promotion. You get a guy like Conor McGregor, or one of these, he's a professional fighter, but one of the Paul brothers, where they understand the game. Even when the game gets real or walking that line or crossing that line becomes part of the promotional game, oh, you got to love it. You're like, oh, I don't have to promote the whole thing. This guy's going to do half the work. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday as the Celtics host the Heat, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN stations.
Anthony Davis has a history of injuries. He just got back, and here he is out again.
Seeding doesn't matter for the Lakers. They know if they can get healthy, the type of team they put on the floor is a championship team.
AD hurt again as the Lakers lose. He expects to play versus the Blazers, but you know he's backing up after shooting a fadeaway and whatever you want to call it. He's backpedaling, and where the hardwood meets the rest of the floor, there's a little like divot or whatever, like a line there, right? And he seems to trip over it and hurt his ankle, right? But they're like, no, it's back spasms. He's all right. All right. He's playing his eighth game, AD, since missing, eighth game, since missing 9 weeks, not nine games, 9 weeks because of calf strain and Achilles tendinosis. Anytime you hear Achilles, even nowadays, you hear about Greek mythology and Achilles, you go, oh, God, no, you wince. And you're like, no, I hope that's, we're not talking about an athlete. Tendinitis, tendinosis, tendon, nothing. I don't want to hear anything about the Achilles tendon in any athlete's leg. This is his right leg, by the way. He's ruled out of the second half of Thursday's rout. They lost big. I mean, of course, they didn't have, not only not LeBron, they didn't have Schroeder. AD went down and out of the game, and they didn't have Talen Horton-Tucker. They had no one. They had guys to inbound the ball. That's about it. They had no one to even bring the ball up and initiate the offense, let alone someone who knew how to do something to do with it or what to do with it once they got the ball. So, of course, they got routed by the Clippers. 118-94. They're seeded sixth now, the Lakers. They're ahead of Portland. They're ahead of Golden State. And they play the Blazers Friday night. Anthony Davis says he expects to play in that game tonight. Probably the biggest game, he said, out of the six dates remaining on the Lakers' regular season schedule, you might argue, of the year. Because one of these two teams, it looks like, is going to have to play in the play-in tournament. Here's the thing, though. Let's say it is the Lakers who play in the play-in tournament. And they'd have to play, I guess, either the Blazers or the Warriors. Because it's 7 and 8 play each other. 9 and 10 play each other. The winner of 7 and 8 is the 7 seed. The loser of 7-8 has to play the winner of 9-10 to see who the 8th seed is. So let's say they lose the playing game. I think they'd win it, but let's say they lose it to the Blazers or the Warriors. It could happen. Are they then going to lose to the Grizzlies or Spurs with the whole season on the line if LeBron and AD are in the and Schroeder and everyone are there? No, they're not going to lose that game. And then actually they would get to play as the 8th seed. As a 7th seed, as a 7th or 8th, they would likely play either the Jazz or Suns. I think that's better than playing the Clippers in the first round, actually. You know, if Denver had Jamal Murray, I'd be like, you don't want Denver. But they don't. I think the Lakers have handled the Nuggets without Jamal Murray. I'm not so sure with Jamal Murray right now because the Aaron Gordon trade was big. But the Jazz, to me, the reason in the end I don't really believe in the Jazz is because Donovan Mitchell is their best player. I believe in him. I love me some Mike Conley. They don't have a real crime partner for Donovan Mitchell. Conley is as a third best guy would be great. Gobert is not much on offense. And guys like Ingles, all the other guys they have are good players. But none is a superstar on offense. And in the playoffs, I think you need that against a team with two superstars on offense. Not impossible to win without it, but I think you need it. Even those Spurs teams that didn't have an MVP necessarily, right? Because Duncan was older, had Parker and Ginobili and Kawhi. They had plenty of guys, like, on another level from just like, oh, he's an above-average player. So the Jazz don't scare me as a Lakers fan. And the Suns, look, as Jordan Schultz, in our segment, Mike Jordan points out, if this is a couple years later and DeAndre Ayton's defense was more advanced, yeah, the Suns would scare the hell out of me. But right now, I think they're a little green. But they scare me more than the Jazz, actually. But the team that scares me the most is the one with Kawhi and Paul George and Rondo and everyone else. They scare me the most. So if the Lakers have to get in the play-in tournament, not the end of the world. I think they'll be an eighth seed at worst, and they'll play, let's say, the Jazz or the Suns. Okay, that's not great, but okay. But if they avoid the play-in tournament and the matchup stands as it is now, Lakers-Clippers first round, let me ask you something. How are the Lakers going to get out of the first round? It's time for Breaking Moves with ESPN NFL analyst Jeff Saturday.
Breaking Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to linkedin.com/sports.
And if he really wants out, he's going to have to
get dirty.
Not necessarily get dirty, just really tell him, yo, this is, I don't care.
Who's going to win out in that situation, the GM or the face of the franchise?
Jeff Saturday joins me on the Goodyear Hotline, offensive lineman, stud for the championship. Indianapolis Colts. Jeff Saturday and Kendrick Perkins and Stephen A. spent quite a bit of time on First Take today mocking my brilliance. Pearls before swine. First of all, Jeff, the question was, is it harder to win in the NFL or the NBA a championship? I think it's a ridiculous question because there are 30 teams in the NBA, 32 in the NFL. It's almost equally as hard, maybe a little harder in the NFL. That's one. Two, depends how you define it. If what you mean is, if you have the best team, are you more likely to win? Then the answer is, the NBA, you're more likely to win with the very best team because the best team wins in the NBA. NFL is more luck dependent. Or if what you mean is, how hard is it to get to be the best team? Because in the NBA, that depends. There aren't so many superstars, and if you have two or three of them, that's it. There's not enough to go around, right? Then you might say, no, it's harder in the NBA because it's harder to get those superstars. Depends how you define it. How do you define whether it's harder to win in the NBA and the NFL, Jeff?
Listen, I think when you talk about the luck portion of the playoffs, and how difficult it is to stay healthy over a 16, now a 17-game series. And when it's sudden death, it's got to be the NFL. Because, listen, the best team in the NFL doesn't always win. And to your point, in basketball, almost exclusively, you can go through and the best team ends up winning because they do have the 7-game series, right? They do have the amount of time to get to playing where they want, or if one of their stars is injured, they have a couple days or a few days to get them healthy and rested and back in action where they can come back and make a push. You know, you don't get a bad afternoon in the NFL. I mean, I can remember playing the Pittsburgh Steelers and probably our best team as the Indianapolis Colts, and Mike Vanderjagt misses a field goal late. We end up losing that game. And it was probably in totality our best team from the Colts perspective that I had played on, but we didn't play well. I think we beat Pittsburgh on a Monday night game, maybe by 10 or 14, like a couple weeks before. But we just didn't. We weren't sharp. We didn't play well. Just didn't do the things
Jeff,
that we had done
all
season.
This is my point. Wait, Jeff. This is my point, Jeff. The best team in the NFL doesn't always win. So Kendrick Perkins was kind of defining it like you got to beat the other team four times in seven games. That's really hard. But my point is, if you're the better team, you're more likely to win four out of seven than you are when one game can send you home, one out of one. That's why in the NFL, I don't think the best team always wins. In the NBA, best team always wins. So I'm with you. I think it's harder to win in the NFL. You can stack the deck as much as you want. Doesn't guarantee you anything. The Patriots in 07-08 lost to the Giants, and that's the way it goes.
That's right. That's right. And I will say this. I think Perk made a great point, and you did as well. This is not to dismiss how difficult it is to win one in either one, right? And I think you brought that up, and we honestly all mocked you, gave you the boo sign, and Perk like acting like he was asleep on you, you know, all those things. But the truth is, each has its own difficulties. You just took you were the brunt of the joke, right? You were the butt of the joke today. You just had to take it.
Yes. How dare you? How dare everybody? It's very difficult for me, Jeff. My thinking is so evolved, and I have to figure out how to explain it to you humans in language that you can understand. Jeff, what's going on? By the way, maybe that's Aaron Rodgers' problem too, right? Rodgers always thinks he's the smartest guy in the room, and maybe he's alienated some people, but the bottom line is he's Aaron Rodgers. He's allowed to do that, and the front office is going to have to figure out. Jeff, I think for so much of NFL history, you do what you're told, you stay in line, it's a military game, know your rank, don't go be out of line. The quarterback position is so important now, Jeff. Certain guys you can't treat like that anymore. Mahomes, Rodgers, Brady, you cannot act like it's the old days. And yet their front office in Green Bay acted like it was the old days. What do you think happens now?
Yeah, I think they have to go back and basically eat crow. You know, say, listen, man, we made a terrible mistake. Even if they were going to draft, a quarterback, the conversation before they went into the draft should have been had. Look, man, I played center for 14 years. Howard Mudd came to me on a number of different occasions telling me, hey, we're thinking of drafting a center, definitely a guard. You know, this could be competition. You know, just get yourself prepared. Want you to have and that's really all it takes, Max. You might be salty. You might be upset. But at least you don't feel like you have been You were disrespected. And listen, relationship in the NFL matters. You got to go work with these guys every day. When you feel like they weren't up front with you, it does cause issue with the relationship. And whether you're pro Aaron Rodgers or pro Packers, it should have been handled a different way. And now they have to come to the end of this where they decide, we're going to have to give this guy an extension, right? Maybe it's 3 years, 2 years, 3 years, so he can play five more years with the Packers, and we're going to ride with him. And Jordan Love might be, without a catastrophic injury, he'll be a bench player and maybe go on and move on and start somewhere else. But they're going to have to show Aaron that they're committed to him and winning with him in a way that they haven't shown him yet. And I don't think this is an issue where Aaron's going to sit out. I really don't. I think he's too competitive to sit out. But I do think he can make this awfully difficult for the Packers, become a huge distraction, which you and I both know most players. Aaron can outplay that. Most players on the team are going to have a hard time overcoming that much distraction.
Jeff, you said something talking to Jeff Saturday, former offensive line stud for the Indianapolis Colts and now ESPN NFL analyst here on the Goodyear Hotline, Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. You said something that piqued my interest just now. You said that if the GM comes to you, as he did during your career, and said, hey, we're drafting this guy, it's going to be some competition, may the best man win, da-da-da, you might be salty, but you can accept that communication line is open, he's being honest and everything, and you know you're in a competitive situation. I would also think before they did it, like Rodgers is kind of salty too because his boys on the team sometime are moved without his input. And I understand that. You know, like I remember as a Giants fan, that Super Bowl I referred to earlier, David Tyree made the catch. Eli trusted him. Tyree didn't make the squad the next year, right? See, it's ruthless.
That's right.
But I would imagine when there's a quarterback like Rodgers, even if you think, well, he has a personal relationship with this guy, we can't let him dissuade us from trading him or moving on because we got to run a team to run. But I would imagine before they drafted someone to replace you, did they check in with Peyton Manning? Did Peyton ever go to you and be like, yeah, they told me about it? Or did he have input there on his offensive lineman?
No, listen, I don't think he – I think he was aware of everything. I don't think he wanted necessarily to have the final input or say. I think he trusted Bill and what he was going to do and what Howard Mudd was going to do to put the best – you know, the best guys in place. And I will say, listen, man, we're all grown. Like, we understand that guys – you know, that they age out of the game or the quality of play goes down and the guys have to move on, that you may get fresh legs or a better player to come in and replace it. So, when you're saying that about Aaron, I think guys do take it personal because they're friends, but we also understand the business side of it. But when it directly affects you and your position, and especially at that position where the front office and the quarterback have to be in sync like none other, right? Because it's got to be one voice, one mission, because he's ultimately the mouthpiece to the locker room from the front office. It's got to be in sync. And when it's not, you can see the chaos it creates. I mean, look at Devontae Adams, right? He's tweeting about it. Like think about all the different guys who are talking about it. And it's all because it wasn't handled from the top down. That's the kind of thing that ends up pushing. Everybody gets disappointed when players get cut or traded, to your point, the David Tyrees of the world. But it happens to all of us, man, and we all understand that. We just want to be made aware. And, again, I liken this back to any business. If your business was going to make a significant shift in personnel, and when you only got 11 starters on each side, you know, most changes are fairly significant, you'd like to be made aware. That's it, man. It's no bigger. It's no less than that. It's just be honest with me, be transparent, and let's move on, united in front.
Jeff Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, you can see him all over ESPN platforms, wherever football is being discussed, including the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio. Jeff, thanks a million for jumping on, as always, brother.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a great
one. The Max Kellerman Show. Thank you, man. You too. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Did a team just get out of one of the worst contracts in sports history? Don't say I didn't warn you, because if you go back a bunch of years, we should pull that sound, as a matter of fact, if we still have it. I'll tell you what I'm talking about coming up.
Oh,
no doubt.
Right
coming
on
up.
It.
Recent
Brendan's
data shows that out of...
Yeah,
Brendan's right on it. Yeah, I'm sure Brendan's going to have that for us pronto.
You want recent something data for the shows, very guys, next that... segment from, what, years ago? Oh, that should be fine.
Yeah, just going back about, and I'm not even sure how many years, although you could look up when he was signed.
You don't know what day or what recent year or what it is, but and for next segment, got it.
As Marcellus used to say on Max and Marcellus, Marcellus Wiley used to say his grandma, Grandma Blackie, would tell him when he would complain, don't tell me about the pain, show me the baby, Brendan.
Yeah,
recent data shows that out of all, I have to read this now, out of all female-owned businesses, it is estimated, listen to this, guys, 1 in 3 is owned by a mom. CEO and founder Talia Goldstein is one such mompreneur. She needed to hire several matchmakers. She needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company. So she uses ZipRecruiter. Their technology helps her find the right people for her job quickly. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. The other employer gets Brendan. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/max.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also, check me out on the ESPN app, not the SiriusXM app, Raj, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. No doubt coming up in a second, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-799-3776. Tune into an interleague battle tomorrow as the Yankees host the Nationals. Coverage begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. It's the Damn Yankees. That's a musical, the Damn Yankees, about the Washington Senators, I'm pretty sure, were the other team, playing the Yankees. So now it's the Washington Nationals playing the Yankees. Hopefully those damn Yankees stomp them out. Oh, no. Excuse me, I'm very objective about all of this. I hope you tune in and watch. Tune in to an NL East battle Sunday as the Braves host the Phillies. Oh, NL East. Beginning of the season looked like it's going to be one of the best divisions ever. Coverage on Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app and at 7 p.m. on ESPN.
Going to get right down to it.
We got you covered.
Let me tell you what I think it means.
No doubt.
All right, Raj, what do we got here?
Hey, Jared Goff said it's a nice vote of confidence that the Lions didn't draft a QB. So, Max, Goff will resurrect his career and thrive in Detroit.
Nah, son. And I see where the Lions paid all that money for their center, right? Because they want to make sure they have a good offensive line. Goff is a solid, average kind of starting quarterback. Is he much better than Teddy Bridgewater or someone like that? I mean, they're both competent. I don't see them thriving in that division alone. The Packers, the Bears now have Justin Fields. The Vikings are usually more. Detroit's perennially the worst team in the division. I don't see that changing. What else?
Hey, Packers should just let Aaron Rodgers retire. They should play against the wall and let him retire rather than trading him. They should play hardball.
Nah, son. Here's the problem. The Packers don't have a move. I'm trying to explain this to people. You can't. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, why would I retire? Why would I give the money back? Why would I sit out? I'd be like, nah, bet. I'll show up and play. I don't want to be here. You sure you want me to show up and play? How'd that work out with James Harden, with Houston? No. I'm going to collect my money. Believe that. And let me tell you something else. Because of that, I am giving you a direct order as your boss. You will trade me to the Brooklyn Nets and only to the Brooklyn Nets. How you like that? You like apples? How you like them apples? And guess what the Rockets realized after a while? All right, damn, he is the boss. All right, you got it, boss. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. He doesn't have to retire. He doesn't have to sit out. He doesn't have to do anything. He'll say, especially in a full contact sport like football, you cannot win a Super Bowl with a quarterback who's not all in. And Rodgers, no, I'll show up and play. I'll be good too. That's really what you want? You know I don't want to be here. You want to try and win a Super Bowl that way? Come on, let's do it. And they'll be like, all right, boss, you got it. Where do you want me to trade you again? And that's what'll happen.
That's right. That's like a friend of the show said, Chuck D, at that time it occurred to me the suckers had authority. Hey, you're cool.
That's right. That's exactly right. By the way, Brendan, clip that. We got to use that. It occurred to me the suckers had authority.
He has no idea what you're talking about.
Black Steel in the Hour of Chaos, Brendan.
Yeah, he'll know.
Yeah, hey, got it, sure.
He might know that, though.
He might. We played on the show. Hey, you remember that workout video Drew Brees released with his trainer after retiring? Or before retiring, excuse me, after the season? Remember that workout video? Are you cool with Drew Brees admitting he just trolled everyone with that viral workout video prior to retiring? You cool
First of all, I don't remember the video in the first place. I just said yeah because I just wanted you to get to the next point. So I don't know if he trolled people, and I don't really care that much. Drew Brees, he was a great quarterback. He may have been slightly overrated because he put up great – he was a great quarterback and incredibly accurate and a very likable guy and all that kind of stuff, a leader. He played in a dome, and he was never, like, the best quarterback in the league, and some Saints fans want to pretend he's the greatest ever or in the conversation. He's not.
Stop it.
But he's in the conversation for top 10, and that's amazing.
Okay. Yep, fair with that. Hey, and lastly – of course, Albert Pujols retired. The Angels retired him. But Pujols' contract was one of the worst in sports history.
No doubt. And it was stupid when they did it. And I said so on 710 ESPN in LA. I said so. And everyone was telling me, no, but what about this? What about that? Let me explain something. He was a first baseman, clearly in decline, like clearly in decline. And you hand him, so there's no position to move to except DH. But there's no defensive position to move to from first base. And you're handing him a 10-year deal at the time in record numbers per year? What are you, crazy? His bat was in decline. So if you want to be a DH, your bat can't be, and it was in steep decline. Like, everyone's like, well, he was still doing this and this. He was falling so precipitously that the odds that he would ever live up to that contract or even half of it were virtually zero. In no year of the contract was he worth the money. And I thought it was stupid at the time, and I was proven right. Sometimes I'm proven wrong, infrequent though it may be. And here's a case where I was proven right. Drew in California, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
How's it going, Max? So I'm a huge Packers fan. Met my wife because of the 2011 Super Bowl win over the Steelers. You know, we wouldn't have met without that win and the fun celebrations afterwards. So this call may be biased. But I just want to talk about
this is a family John show Kuhn now. Calm down.
I just want to talk about the John Kuhn article and how that isn't being talked about enough. You know, one of his buddies comes out and says, like, hey, it's 70 to 75%. He's coming back to Green Bay. And I just haven't heard discussion of that. You know, I understand it's not a sexy outcome to talk about, but there just doesn't seem to be
I think there is a chance he goes back to Green Bay. And in fact, it's much worse than I thought it was. Because initially I thought, look, Aaron Rodgers is going to look around and say, the Packers, whatever issues we have, if you're talking about, like, rank the teams I have the best chance to win a Super Bowl, the Packers are way, way up there. So, like, you know, what's the issue? And now they're willing to make him the highest-paid quarterback in football? Like, they can bring him back. But there's another step to take at least. And that other step is you got to approach him hat in hand. And by the way, Packers front office should not be too proud to internalize this. They don't have to just eat crow about it. They should actually learn from this. Like, you know what? The world we thought we were living in, where we could tell Aaron Rodgers what's what, is not the real world. In fact, it's Aaron Rodgers' world. It's Patrick Mahomes' world. It's Tom Brady's world. And we got to make them happy and keep them that way if they're going to stay. So I'm not saying, oh, it's a foregone conclusion that Rodgers is gone. I'm saying, is the Packers front office willing to do what it takes to give themselves the best shot to bring him back? That's what I'm saying. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Hip-hop versus rock and roll knowledge coming up on the Max Kellerman Show.
Listen to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin at home. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio.
Now playing ESPN Radio.
You're the leader of the team as a quarterback, and the questions are going to come out. How much do you love football?
More from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Monday starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, and on the ESPN app.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app, SiriusXM channel 80888, say ESPN, 729-3776. All right.
All right, Max. Sounds like we're doing time of the week.
Hip hop rock and roll thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're doing it. So this is obviously where we test your lack of rock and roll knowledge against Brendan's lack of hip hop knowledge. So far, I'd say
lack of rock and roll knowledge to me. And there's a run down the road. I can't do it. My voice is weak.
That's the one thing you know. That's right. Okay, so let's start B off with an easy one.
Oh yeah, here we go. I'm sure it's gonna be like, yeah. So 10 years ago, I had this Albert Pujols take. I don't want you to find the audio. I want you to tell me what song we came back with that day.
No, don't be silly. I know you like members of rap groups. So here's an easy one for you. Name me the members of the Beastie Boys.
Oh, no shot on this one.
What?
Someone's
they
like
say their names 10 times every song.
I don't like the Beastie Boys, for starters. I don't know. Something's like an A something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I have no idea. I couldn't tell you.
Ad Rock.
Yeah. Suckers, they be saying Ad-Rock. They can't take out.
One of them died. Well, I know that, right?
Yeah, he passed away. He has three letters in his name.
I couldn't tell you.
By the way, they kind of count as rock and roll, too, dude. They're as big in rock and roll circles as hip-hop circles, the Beastie Boys,
Max,
you would think.
Give them the three names, Max.
MCA. Ad Rock, and who the hell else?
It doesn't count if he can't
Mike D.
All right.
He got it. That's right. All three from Ad Rock.
It doesn't sound so easy
points.
If he could barely do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I can't remember my own daughter's names. Which one are you?
Hey,
what?
Max, it's Billy.
You know my daughters sometimes trick me. I just need to tell you something. You know my daughters sometimes trick me into thinking I'm a different age than I am? They, like, give me an extra year, and they're like, Dad, you forgot how old you are again? I'm like, no, I'm not 48. I'm 46. Wait, am I 48? They tricked me. Like, I don't know. I can't remember anything.
Easy to trick you. Hey, but speaking of birthdays and age, it's Billy Joel's 72nd birthday today, Max. Hey, name me a couple Billy Joel songs.
Piano Man.
Yeah, that counts. I mean, again, easiest thing ever.
Yeah, I know. Billy Joel songs. Come on, Piano Man. I just can't remember anything anymore.
At least you're making a name two, thank God.
And what?
Piano Man, Piano and Man.
Nope.
But by the way, I know a million Billy Joel songs. I just can't think of any right now.
Oh, I know the one. We Didn't Start the Fire. That would have been susceptible, but that's all right.
All right. Hey, no, that's not We Didn't Know. We Didn't Start the Fire is not Billy Joel.
It is Billy Joel.
What?
You're horrible. Okay. Hey,
B. We're tied at zero.
Yes. Hey, B. What rapper is credited with creating Hot Girl Summer? The term Hot Girl Summer. Current rapper. I'll give you a hint. Female.
Oh, because I was not going to guess a female.
No. One of the hottest rappers out right now. Very trendy. Was on the Grammys. No. Max?
I don't know this either.
Megan Thee Stallion.
By the way, I would have taken that. I would have guessed.
Well, it was too late. Hey, Max, all right. So name me Jimi Hendrix's band, the first band, or the band that he was in that he made popular. What was the name of that band?
Jimi Hendrix had a band?
Yeah, Jimi Hendrix and
I have no idea. I thought Jimi Hendrix was a solo act. What do you want from me?
Well, he had a band with Noel and the drummer. What's the band name, B? What's the band name?
It was the Gypsies.
The Band of Gypsies is one. Yeah, he did, but he had Jimi Hendrix and the Experience.
Oh, the Experience.
Yeah. Oh, the Experience, right.
Hey, B. Hey, B, check it out. What movie did Ice-T and Chris Rock star in the 80s? Really fun movie. Well, Chris Rock didn't star in it, but he was in it. Actually, it was Ice-T, who I know you like, and one of your movies you like, and you don't remember?
Well, the only movie we talked about this one already, and I don't even...
You'll know this. Just
I don't even remember.
You'll know this, Brendan. You got to think about it.
The one we talked about was New Jack City.
There you go! New Jack City. Nice. You were good. Hey, Max, There's an 80 band that had a drummer who lost his arm. He only had one arm. What's the name of that rock and roll band?
A one-arm drummer in the 1980s?
Yeah.
What band did he play for? I don't know, brother. I don't know.
MTV.
I don't know. I really can't believe it. Go ahead, Brendan. I can't even dig. I don't know.
Def Leppard. Pour Some Sugar on Me and all that stuff. No?
All right, there you go.
Okay. All right, B, for the win.
I've heard of Def Leppard.
What was the name of Lauryn Hill's group before she went solo? She was in a group.
Fugees.
You are the king,
Brendan. That's
low-hanging
fruit.
You win. He didn't know the Beastie Boys, but he knew the Fugees. That's incredible. Good job. You really got to do better at rock and roll.
Just the way you are, Billy Joel. Max Kellerman Show.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.